I don't even know how much effort she really put into it. She was like, hey guys, make me a pelvis, make me a uterus, put some razzle dazzle on it. I'm going out on stage. Where's my tube that looks like a snake? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love Taylor Townsend.
Yes, Rich Deb. You really hit the nail on the head with that one when you called her Rich Deb. That's 100% her. Yes,
100%. I'm Mike Land. With me, as always, is Bethany. Hey, girl.
Hello. Hello, everyone. I'm here. I was just telling Mike Land, we are currently recording on Cinco de Mayo or Revenge of the Fifth, whichever you prefer to call it. And it's also Met Monday, and we are very scared on behalf of all white people that we're really going to screw this theme up. So can't wait to see who does something racist. It's going to happen.
Some white person's going to walk in with like some elaborate cornrows.
Yeah. And it's going to be real yikes. But overall, I'm very excited. I mean, I think it's a very cool theme. I'm always excited to see these rich people put on their rich outfits. I know, obviously, like, it's a little Hunger Games, a little Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. Like, the rest of us are all struggling and whatever. But listen, at least the money is going to the arts, which is great. The arts are important. And I do enjoy, again, as I'm sitting here wearing, like, a Grogu Disney shirt. So I'm not the epitome of fashion by any means, although it's a real cute shirt. I do sit here and enjoy, I don't know, judging these people's fashion, even though I don't really know what I'm talking about, but it is fun to do.
But most of my wardrobe is Taylor Swift merchandise.
Yeah. So like, can we judge anyone? No, but
but we're gonna, we're actually
but we're
judge
gonna
a few rich people today on this podcast, because I think it's finally time for us to go in on our thoughts on Katy Perry's Lifetime's tour.
I'm so excited.
The use of Lifetimes in itself is
ridiculous.
Isn't ridiculous. Or no. She's saying timelines. She keeps saying timelines.
Timelines.
Timelines. Like,
they looked up a synonym for era and they were like, timeline? Can we use timeline?
Like, she couldn't just say like albums.
Yeah. Which is what they are. Like, why can't people just call them albums? It's like Taylor Swift said the Eras Tour because it was like, it would be weird to call something the Albums Tour. And someone was like, oh, we're going to do things one era at a time. And everyone's like, what if we come up with funny words to describe when we do different decades of our career or different albums of our career? And it's like, no, like, you don't have to do that. No. Like, it's not, like, that's not necessary. Which is like, honestly, we're going to sit here and critique this tour. But this is my first take on this. I understand. Okay, so like what happened in the music industry these last few years was weird, right? Like the world shuts down. A bunch of people have concerts. They get canceled. But again, these artists who are usually have really busy schedules, who are touring, who are doing this or doing that, have a shit ton of time now to write new albums. So they write new albums that they can't tour, and they haven't toured the other album they were supposed to tour, so on and so forth, which again is how the whole conceit of the Eras Tour began, because everyone's like, what's Taylor Swift going to do? She had the Lover Tour, and then that was canceled, but now she's had two other albums, three other albums, and then four other albums come out since then, but she still never toured that album, and that's how the concept of this came up. And again, it was like, you know, it's been a long time coming, pun intended, so I'm going to put on like this greatest hit show. We're going to do it era by era, so it's not weird that, you know, this has happened whenever. And again, she's not the only artist this happened to. You know, someone like an Ed Sheeran, kind of the same thing. He ended up having a couple albums come out. A bunch of people kind of had this happen. So they end up doing kind of, you know, this big grand tour of kind of everything. Again, it's not uncommon when an artist is touring a new album to also not tour some of their greatest hits. They're going to tour their greatest hits. But everyone, because they saw the success that Taylor Swift's concert did, which is a flash in the pan. It's the perfect storm, right? Like, first of all, she's the biggest artist in the world. Second of all, it was a hell of a tour. Like, it was just a really good show, to be honest. And third, obviously, I know I'm biased, but it just really was a good show. But third, again, it was like just kind of happenstance. Like, hey, the world shuts down. People were like jonesing for concerts again, so on and so forth. and she puts on this tour. And then everyone saw the success and was like, let's replicate that. And like the Jonas Brothers put on like everyone said the poor man's Eras tour. Katy Perry comes out and she's like, Lifetime's timeline, such and such. Oh no, I don't open to my internet. Yeah, with all that to say that essentially, like everyone, not everyone, but a lot of big acts aside, they needed to replicate that. And it's like, you don't need to. Like sometimes like reining it in and just making it like, again, like Sabrina Carpenter, and I understand she's like a newer act, so it's different. But like, she was like, I'm just going to put on a good show, so on and so forth. Obviously, Beyonce has had a lot of success. She just came out to the Renaissance tour. That's all she wanted to tour. Obviously, yes, is Beyonce still going to play some of her old greatest hits? Of course she is. But she did that. Then Cowboy Carter came out. She's on the Cowboy Carter tour. Like, if you can't, like, you're not going to be able to replicate or duplicate the success of the Eras tour. You're just not. Because, again, like, so many things happen at once to make that happen. And so I think, honestly, like, less is more. Like, having the Katy Perry's biggest problem is that she is in comparison now with something like that, when she could have just come out and, like, done a regular tour and, like, I don't know, maybe actually rehearsed it. And no one would be making fun of her. But alas, that's neither here nor there, but here we are. And so, yeah, you know, we're girls, girls. We don't like to hate on women, obviously, but this is ripe for the picking. This is just, it has to be discussed.
Also, I feel like Katy Perry is not a girl.
Deserves
girl.
Some hate. Yeah.
So exactly. Much like Gwen Stefani, Katy Perry deserves some of the vitriol that we're about to spill. Obviously, we're not going on Katy Perry's Instagram and writing these in the comments.
Right.
We're not sending her mail. We're not in her DMs. Yeah. This is just between us, between friends.
Yeah, exactly.
So don't harass anybody on the internet.
Please. Yeah. That's crazy. That's not cool. No one needs to be doing that. And again, like, if you're a Katy Perry fan, like, respect. If you want to go to the show, respect. Like, everyone has their thing. Like, it's fine. I just think that obviously, and like, that's her problem, is like, it's just been one bad thing after another. Like, it's just been terrible timing. Like the whole cringy, I'm an astronaut now thing. And now this tour, the fact that they were like so close to each other has just really set her to be ripe for the picking on this.
And she has like identical, like, she's like ripped things off from a bunch of tours recently. And it's like, what do you even do it?
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, people kept telling me it was bad, but then when I watched the videos, I was like, oh, this is really bad.
It's really
like,
bad.
Like, I still didn't believe that it could possibly be bad. Because again, like, Katy Perry has put on some really good performances. Like, I think her Super Bowl halftime show is honestly like a top 10 Super Bowl halftime show performance. Like, I really thought she blew it out of the park with that. She's done some other things that have been really good, but the last few years, and particularly this concert, has just
So I watched her little interview that she did. It's only like 10 minutes long, with the Associated Press about her tour. She's talking about her tour and she's like, she's like so fucking pretentious, by the way. She's like, I have been doing a lot of inner work, connecting some dots, answering some questions. She's doing this with her hands. I'm not making this up. And I've also learned what is the fucking meditation?
What is that? I'm gonna have to look this up now. This is
someone's yelling at us.
Because you like transcend, but it's transcendental. I think you're right.
Yeah. So right? She's like, I've been doing that.
Yes.
And I've become a whole new person, blah, blah, blah. So within the last 5 years, since she's had her baby, basically, she's like, I'm a different artist. I'm a different person. And I'm like, oh, you're like acting like you're the first woman who's ever given birth and is now the most powerful woman because of that. Mm-hmm. Women give birth every day.
Every day. Every day.
For the entire existence of the world.
Yeah. And they have it, again, no offense to you, Katy Perry. Happy that you're a mother. Happy that you love it. But they also, like, probably didn't have it as cushy as you did. You know what I mean? Like, again, the money that you're afforded and the resources that you're afforded by being who you are and having a child is a lot easier than what some people are going through.
She's like, in that interview, she's like, I'm asking all my fans to tell me like their favorite local spots to bring 5-year-olds. I'm like, first of all, Katie, let's be fucking honest. How often are you with that kid?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, especially when you're touring. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
Please.
Also, like, you have a team of people. What do you mean you're asking your fans their favorite place to take a 5-year-old?
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway. I also want to mention in this interview, she pronounces it costume. Costume. Like, there's so many costumes. She's a drama kid.
Giving very like Madonna. Remember when Madonna had like a British accent for a minute for absolutely no reason?
Yes.
It's giving that.
Yes. What is with our pop girlies?
Yeah.
They lose their shit every now and then.
They really do. I think, and again, in fairness to them, like, we've said it before and we'll say it again, I can never have the level of fame that these people have or like anything. Like, of course you're going to lose your mind because, you know, but still. Maybe losing their minds.
Yes. Somebody was like, what the interviewer asked her some kind of question, like, did you have any reservations about doing this tour or anything like that? And she said, that's the thing about me. I don't have limitations on my dreams. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Maybe you should.
She really... like, speaking about her, like, getting into meditation and whatever, like, she really, every time I've seen this woman talk in the last few months, like, really sounds like she has just gone off, like, an ayahuasca trip and is, like, maybe she's been hanging out with Aaron Rodgers or something, and it's just, it's weird. It's very weird.
Yeah. She's giving a weird vibe lately. She's giving, like, a Scientology vibe.
Yes. Like, Scientology, like... weird, again, kind of in a Gwen Stefani way, like this weird kind of like religious mumbo jumbo where like people say things but they don't really mean anything, but it just sounds deep. And so she's like, I just like, you know, like with her whole like when you're into space and you just realize how much love you have to give. And I'm like, what is, none of that means anything, Katie. Like, none of these things mean anything. But she thinks she sounds deep.
Exactly. The beginning of the Associated Press interview, she does this spiel that I think I'm just gonna play. Because
I'm so excited.
It makes no sense. And it's like, why are you, like, what was the question?
Change begins within, and it's an individual journey. I've been able to learn transcendental meditation for about 15 years, and that changed my life. And, you know, I've gone on a long inner space journey to untangle some wires, to answer some questions, to become more grounded, to find the power within myself that I've spoken about, that my higher self knows because I wrote Firework. But to access that power even more. And I think that when I can lead by example, it just ripples. That's it. And you can start so small.
When I lead by example... it just ripples.
And it just ripples. Is this like trickle-down economics?
Yes.
It just, what a weird, it just ripples. She's like,
it just ripples.
I'm just, if I'm like being in my best zone, also like what a weird thing. Like literally, I don't even know where that train of thought went. She's like, I've gotten really in touch with myself. I've learned meditation. And then she's like, my highest high. I wrote Firework, you know. Like, don't forget, y'all remember when you all liked that song. Like, what even was that? Good for you? You want a cookie? Like... and then she's just like, and then I just feel like I don't even know where that thought started, where it ended. She's really.
Neither does she.
She's really something.
And at one point, the interviewer must have asked her like something about her ego or whatever. And she's like, my ego is not invited to the tour. And it's like, well, I think your ego crashed the party, Katie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what are you talking about? That's all this tour was your ego. Because, I mean,
it's really a choice.
it's really a choice. And before we get into the breakdown of the actual tour, I do want to mention that I have been getting a lot of Katy Perry content in my feed, and there was a performance she did in 2022 in Vegas.
Oh my God, and yes.
She sang with a gigantic toilet that had a singing turd.
Singing
turd. With corn.
With the corn. The corn is what really sent me over the edge, to be honest. And the fact that she like plays with it. And I'm just like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand that.
She really like, wishes she could do camp. And the problem is she can't do camp.
It's like she really wishes.
Basically, what it boils down to.
Yes, she wishes she was gay, mm-hmm. and she's not.
And she's not
hetero as they come.
Like she, again, you know, obviously a lot of people have done. Which of course, it's like, yeah, talking about Katy Perry not being a girl's girl. Like, you know, quote unquote, she's had a feud with like every celebrity, whatever pop star. Like, obviously the whole like her and Taylor thing, her. Whole like her and Lady Gaga thing, but I think the fact that her and Lady Gaga like broke out on the scene at the same time, and again Katy Perry coming out with a song that she did, and she really thought that like she was gonna be like the cool edgy like I kissed a girl, and then Lady Gaga was like genuine and authentic and people started gravitating toward her, and I think that that has driven Katy Perry crazy her entire career. And so she's like try to be theatrical and try to do camp because like, well, Lady Gaga does it and she gets away with it, and it's like, yes, because people can tell it's coming from a genuine place and it's authentic and it's done well and she appreciates it and she understands the history of it, and whatever you are doing, Katy Perry, is not that and that is your problem,
right? Like you can't compare this tour to anything Lady Gaga's done. Lady Gaga is genuinely an artist. Like she is an artist in all sense. Like she uses clothing, she uses, you know, stage, she uses makeup, she uses so many things to like create this character and create this story. And Katy Perry is like, it's like she watched it and was like, all right, I'm gonna go to the dollar store, I can totally do this myself.
Yeah exactly. Like failed, I've got miserably. This
failed miserably. So the concept of the tour is a video game, and she's going through all these different levels, defeating a bad guy or whatever, and that's the story. There's a bunch of AI shit in it, like
it's really that bad. Was
haunting, like the whole back screen area being AI humans was chilling. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what is this?
It's use really real people. Very strange choice. Yeah, I like really don't. It like it's cheap, it's lazy, it's I don't know. Like when you have Katy Perry money and you're putting on a world tour, like why would you do that? Like I just don't like how hard would it have been to hire real people and film and whatever? But it's like every possible shortcut. Like it feels to me like every possible shortcut that they could have made for this tour, they did, and we're like, it's fine, people will come. Because again, like everyone is still thinking that we are in that post-COVID concert boom where people were so excited to go to concerts that they would go see anything, which first of all, people were actually putting on good shows, A. But B, like, you can't – we're not there anymore. You know what I mean? Like, we're basically about to be in another recession. Like, people are only going to spend top dollar if they really, like, are excited to go see something. And if you're using crappy, cheap AI and – putting out whatever it is that you're putting out, like it's not, no one's gonna want to see that.
I also noticed a bunch of her videos that I saw of her performing, like she was not singing, like she will sing like three words and then like hold the microphone out and let the backing track do all of the work, and I'm like you're not putting in any effort in this dancing, to be honest. You're doing nothing with this choreography, you're also not singing. Like,
yeah. So I'm like, what's even?
What are we paying for?
What are we paying for? Exactly. Yeah, like it's not like, you know, there are some people like someone like Usher for years. You didn't really go to an Usher show to see him sing live. Like that's not what he's doing. But he was an entertainer. He was a dancer. You'd get a couple like ad libs live and then backing track. But like people knew that. But he put time and effort into dancing and he did a really good job and people paid money for that. Obviously, you know, other people you're going for the vocals and whatever. But like, I just don't, again, I don't know. And obviously we've all heard the story to death about, you know, Taylor running on the treadmill to the set list and whatever. But it's like, that's the thing. Like something like this really does take a lot of stamina and takes a lot of training. And I just don't know. I'm like, just was there, again, I can't imagine there was any time constraint. Like you planned when the tour was, you know, when it would start, like you knew when to start training for it. But I just don't know. I was like, it's just the stamina not there. Like it was just, she didn't take it serious enough to think it was worth training for. But you have to give someone one or the other. You either have to be there with the vocals, or you have to be there with the dancing. She is not there for either. And it's just, again, like if I was, you know, I like some Katy Perry songs well enough. I'm not obviously one of her biggest fans or anything, but if I was, and I spent a lot of money to be there, and I felt like she – literally the thing that annoys me the most about these videos is she looks like she doesn't want to be there. And yeah. If I spent my money in this economy to go see an artist that I really liked and they look like they rather be anywhere else and we're putting in, like, minimum effort, I would be so pissed off.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Like, she looks like she didn't prepare for this, like, yeah. At all. The opening, I think it's the opening number. I don't know. It's just the one I've seen over and over again of her fighting the, oh my God, tube.
Yeah.
Just fighting a giant tube, like a paper mache HVAC tube. Like what? Yeah. No effort there whatsoever. Like you couldn't have made that kind of look like an alien. Give it eyes, you know, literally anything.
Yeah, anything. I don't know what that was. And then her weird, like, lightsaber that's not a lightsaber. And she's just like.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like there's a no, like, anything to it.
It's crazy.
It's so bad.
All of her dancers are men.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an interesting choice for Katy Perry, the woman's advocate or whatever, champion. She's like
real champion. Real feminist icon. Here we are. We're you know, making space or taking up space and all female astronauts and whatever. And I have a song about it's a woman's world, but I'm only going to hire male backup dancers. It's like, what? Okay.
Doesn't make any sense.
Strange. Very strange.
I also saw this TikTok from a creator whose name is Alexandra_Alexis. And she was saying that Katy Perry's costumes are like parts of the woman's body. Like she has that one that's like very clearly a pelvis, and like that is very clearly a pelvis.
Yeah.
And then she has one where it's just like white, like, and she was like, oh, that could be the nervous system. And then she has that big uterus.
Yeah.
Bejeweled.
Yeah.
uterus. The uterus and the pelvis, like, no question. Those are both.
Yeah.
I'm like,
okay. And again, do you think she was like, did you think when they like sat down or planning out these costumes, she was like, this is really going to make a statement. This is really going to be a female empowerment. And it's like, nope, missed the mark again.
I don't even know how much effort she really put into it. She was like, hey guys, make me a pelvis, make me a uterus, put some razzle dazzle on it. I'm going out on stage. Where's my tube that looks like a snake or whatever, an alien. Where's my alien tube?
Where's my alien tube? And my AI videos with my all male dancers. Yeah. It's just really,
it's brutal, y'all. It's brutal. Also, I saw a conspiracy.
Ooh, we love that. Those. Only when they're fun, though.
This is fun. A conspiracy that it was her tour was supposed to be space themed, but because the whole trip to space thing didn't go quite as they were expecting, which is crazy to me. What did you think people were going to think about that? Are you fucking serious? She scrapped it and was like, okay, video game. And so that's why everything's like shit.
Yeah, that honestly very well could be. And that could be why, like, things don't seem so rushed and it's like AI and whatever. Like, maybe they had this whole thing rehearsed and, you know, they did go out and film real content and then this happened and they were like, shit, redirect. And they've kind of just made a bigger mess for themselves, to be honest. Here's the thing. Obviously, the whole astronaut going to space, whatever, joyride in space, is very cringy and but like if there would have been some kind of like space tour, and again, because they thought there was going to go in conjunction and everyone was going to love her, but it would have been well done. And even when the astronaut thing obviously did not go over well, because of course it didn't, if she would have gone out and put out a good space tour, people still would have made fun of her a little bit and been like, she really thinks she's an astronaut. But people have been like, I respect this. I respect this tour, though. And right. That's the problem. It's like, she isn't getting any wins right now. And so it's just really easy for people to kind of be really over her antics and so on and so forth, obviously.
She spent like most of that time that they were in space, which I'm not a conspiracy theorist, people.
Right.
Did they really go to space?
Hard to say.
Was that real? She is literally floating in front of the camera the entire time. I'm like, you're in space.
I'd be like I'm gonna look at stuff. Yeah, I know.
But no, she's just like crying. She's
like, look at my daisy. Like
a daisy.
Here's my set list. That's so.
Oh yeah. Oh my god. This set
so is cringy. You know what I forgot about until, again, thanks to the internet and thanks to all these people like talking about this. I saw this video. I think it was on TikTok. It may have been another social media platform. I apologize. I can't remember. But there was this guy talking about. He's like, you know, who should be the most pissed off about this? Lance Bass, who actually did train to be an astronaut. Yes. They're supposed to send him to be the first pop star in space. And I was like, oh my god, core memory unlocked. I forgot about that. But again, yes, like he actually like really had to put in work. Like he put in like basically a year of training and then it sadly didn't end up working out. But like if he had gone to space, again, it still would have been like a little bit cringy. But it would have been like I would have a lot more. Actually did put in like a lot of work.
Yeah, I can't believe
that I forgot about my boy Lance Bass, who was supposed to go to space, and like how much honest to goodness work he put into that. That's so crazy. And then these people, Katy Perry and Gayle King, just like, and whatever, Jeff Bezos' girlfriend, just spent a lot of money and just like sat there in a little dick shaped rocket ship thing, Mabob. Went up to space for 11 minutes, allegedly. And yeah, Katy Perry just stared at the camera. And here we are. That's crazy.
It's just like the lack of safety equipment is like the biggest thing that makes me go like,
that's kind of wild. Like, yeah, the whole thing is just strange.
It's very strange. Oh, I mean, I know there's also a regular person on there, but
yeah,
I don't know. That's the only thing that's keeping me from being like, yeah, this was 100% staged. Yeah. It's the one real person. But
right. Yeah, exactly. I think technically two. I think two of them were like real people who actually like are astronaut-y type people. But don't quote me on that. But I think that sounds right. Yes. But yeah, I agree. It's all very interesting. But yeah, but it's like a train wreck. Like I can't look away. Like if I'm scrolling through TikTok and a Katy Perry video pops up, I'm like,
I gotta watch it.
It's just scratching that itch for me right now. I can't help it.
Should we do a brief pause for Met Gala looks because summer coming in?
Yes. What are people wearing? Let's judge rich people.
Okay, this is Lord. And, like, of course, I'll put these on the screen, but this is Lorde.
What an icon.
Yes. Oh, it's a bad. Yeah, she has this like gray on gray thing, dress situation. She's just like, it looks like the top is like literally just
like
covering her boobs. Which I love.
It doesn't appear to have a back. Oh, okay. I'm seeing a video and yeah, there is not a back to that. It's just literally covering her boobs. Oh, so interesting. Interesting. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Here's. Oh, I like the little like whatever chain thing she has in her ponytails. Kind of dope.
I don't know.
Sabrina Carpenter is here like a Playboy bunny. I say with respect. Like she looks phenomenal.
Oh my God. Yes.
Like she looks so good. I love it. Zendaya is there also looking fierce as always.
Oh my gosh.
Well, apologies. Nothing is ever going to top her like, whatchamacallit, like Cinderella moment, but she is looking very fierce.
She looks very Carmen Sandiego.
Yes. 100% it is giving Carmen Sandiego.
I love that. Are
these people. Oh, I think we have Priyanka and, you know, whatever his name is, Nick Jonas.
Oh. Weirdo.
Yeah.
Tiana Taylor.
Hmm.
She crushed it.
Oh, yes. That's fierce.
Yes. She has, like, every detail down to the number.
Oh, there is a cane. Okay, yes. Oh, that's great. Yes. That is fantastic. Oh my God. Anytime you add a cape to something, it's instantly cooler. I'm sorry. It just is.
Agreed.
Jenny, I'm so not cool. I don't know who Jenny is, but she's also looking very fierce. Jenny. She's got to be.
Oh, yeah.
A singer,
okay.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I sound so old right now. I'm like, who is this lady?
Oh, yeah. Jenny. Oh, okay.
Was it raining? Yeah.
It is.
I think Rihanna is there here in the rain. Look at her. Look at her just strutting down the street in the rain. Get the F out of here. Like, come on, you know? Yes, apparently. This woman is just, she was like, yeah, I'm good. I don't want to be a celebrity anymore. I'm just going to be like a mom. Which, you know what? Hey, respect.
Lisa is also doing some Playboy-esque.
Oh, yes. I am seeing her now. Oh, gosh. I don't know what I just did, but yes. Oh, is this Whoopi Goldberg? Oh, my God. Look at Whoopi Goldberg. Oh, my God. Whoopi, what is on your nails?
Does Whoopi have her nails done?
Yeah, but it's like covering her full. It almost looks like a thimble. I don't know. It's kind of cool, but, like, it's probably really hard to see. But it looks pretty cool. Whoopi.
Met Gala, what a ledge. 2025. Oh my God, Whoopi.
Whoopi. Like, what an icon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they do you look see like her nails? It's like thimbles. I was like, what is this? Is it jewelry or is it nail? You know what I mean?
That must be it's got to be something.
Yeah. I'm intrigued. I want to know what, like, the story is behind it. But I'm definitely intrigued.
Me too.
Yeah. Tiana Taylor. She might be my favorite so far because I just think this is the coolest outfit. I'm just obsessed with that cape.
She looks amazing.
Yes. It's so good. This is crazy. Oh, Maya Hawke is also there. I was about to kind of hate on Maya Hawke's moment because I was like, I don't think it's that cute. But then I saw it from behind with this like cool cape moment and I like it better from behind.
Maya Hawke has a cape as well.
Yeah. It's not as cool as the other cape. This is more like a delicate cape, but it's cool looking. This is a little bit more like she's lost in the forest fairy cape. But like
Sydney,
it's cool.
Oh.
Cape.
Sydney Sweeney's look is boring.
Yeah. I'm not that impressed.
I mean, it's like beautiful, but it's like
right.
This is a Met Gala.
This is a Met. Like, this is something you would wear at like the Oscars. Like, for an Oscars look, I'd be like, okay, awesome. But for the Met, I'm like, you can do better. Like, get something a little crazier, please and thank you.
Yes.
Oh, Bad Bunny is wearing a funky hat.
This one as well. Zuri Hall. Hers was also very cool.
Zuri Hall. Let me see.
It's like a suit jacket.
Oh, yes. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, into that.
I can get down with that for sure. Who is this person? You keep popping up too. SRK? Who are you? I don't know. He also has a cane? That's cool. What is Bad Bunny has, like, it's like he's like carrying a suitcase. What you doing? Oh, Simone Biles at the Met. I don't know what's on the back of her dress. It's kind of a tiny picture. Oh, nothing. That's the person behind her. Sorry. That was confusing me for a minute. Diana Ross, always a legend.
Always.
She's just there. She's in a bunch of feathers, like, timeless. I love it. You know? Gotta love her.
I love it.
Holy moly. Wait, is this Diana? Holy crap. I didn't realize Diana Ross is the back of – holy moly. Look at this.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy. That's so pretty, though.
I love like, that's that. That's
crazy. You know what? Diana Ross understood the assignment, which, like, when does she not, you know?
When does she not? Exactly.
What an icon.
Like, it's the Met Gala. Like, you can do whatever you want. You know?
Get weird with it. Have fun with it. Be dramatic. Have this crazy train on your dress that Diana Ross has. Like, that's what I'm here for at the Met Gala.
Yes. Oh, my God. She has, like, it's like a halo.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes.
This is so good. Anne Hathaway. Also, I hate to say it because I love her. Kind of boring.
Oh no, did she get boring as well?
She got boring. It's kind of boring. Like white shirt and a skirt. I don't okay.
Boring.
Boring.
Oh my God, Sadie Sink looks beautiful.
I know. I love her.
I love her.
She looks the best so beautiful. I also just feel like Sadie Sink is one of those people who I think has done such a good job at like growing up under the spotlight. Because again, I can't imagine. I think that's going to be so hard. I feel like she really doesn't have a lot of controversy around her. She's always just kind of like done her thing. She's absolutely stunning. Yes.
She's look at her. Very private. Like she's not in the public eye at all, which is good.
Oh, Miley is here. Miley's top is interesting, but honestly, overall, also kind of boring. I don't know.
Alton Mason understood the assignment.
Okay, Alton Mason. Let's see.
He's got an eye patch and everything. They have an eye patch. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes, with an eye patch. I love that.
And, like, the big sleeves. And then there's some rhinestone boots under there. Not rhinestone, obviously, but there's some glitter boots down there.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. This eye patch is this is everything.
Yes, the eye patch.
Okay, yeah. 100%. Again, I'm not sure exactly who you are, Alton, but you 100% understood the assignment. That is fantastic. Oh, my God. That's so good.
I want to see what's under that big coat.
Yes.
Maybe we will later.
You know, so far, again, there's a few people I'm underwhelmed by, a few people I'm finding boring. But so far, I'm going to say, I know we're just getting the first batch of photos, but I'm pretty impressed. Like, people are having fun with it. They're getting it. I'm not seeing a lot of boring things, so that's a plus.
Jodie Turner-Smith, amazing. The top hat, amazing. I can't.
Oh my gosh, let me find you. Like, there's been a lot of excellent hats, for sure, this Met Gala.
The hats
are People are really coming out with the hats. Okay, yes.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, I like that.
Dochi looks amazing, obviously.
That's, given. So, see, I just want to sit here and judge rich people's outfits. Is that too much to ask in the world?
Cynthia Erivo. I like her outfit. I think she went for it.
I haven't seen her yet. Hold on, I'll have to see. Okay, yes. It's fun.
It is fun.
I'm enjoying it.
It's better than most people's.
Okay, ooh, here's Miley. These boots are fun.
Okay, Miley's is boring.
Yes, right? I'm not in love with it.
And the fabric on her skirt looks like vinyl.
Mm-hmm. It looks kind of cheap, right? Which it's like, hello, this is the Met Gala.
Oh my God. Why are some people so... Oh my gosh, this is what's underneath.
This is what's underneath.
I just sent it to you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my. I think Alton Mason is in my top five for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. This is so good.
Love. Okay,
yes. Love. Understood the assignment.
Also, guys. I finished the OC.
Yes. Oh, my God. Sorry. The Met Gala distracted us, but we do have to discuss this before we wrap this episode today. Yes.
Yes. Also, I don't know how interesting that segment of us looking at fashion is going to be. But
yeah. You know, but you're going to pop in the pictures, and then people can judge themselves.
Exactly. It's not going to be good audio, you know, but – we are on YouTube.
No, yeah,
y'all.
Sorry. this is an episode. Maybe you should really watch on YouTube. If not, that's just being like, "Ooh, this person." I mean, you can go search up their outfits, I guess, if you want in your own time. But why do that when Mike Land will do the work for you and we'll put them in this YouTube video so you could watch it on YouTube? You're welcome, and everyone.
It is tedious.
Yeah. So reward her with her time well spent and give her views and likes.
Please. So I finished the OC season 4. I agree with you.
It's quality.
I think season 4 is quality. I think that they did a really good job, in my opinion, wrapping up every character.
Yes. Like,
Julie Cooper. Chef's kiss.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. She ends up picking no one.
Mm-hmm.
Has that baby by herself. And then, you know, we see the flash forward and she's graduating college. And like the Bullet and Frank are both there.
Yes. So,
like she's created her own little like family. Yeah. And I'm like, Julie.
I know. I think I like may have been happiest for her because again, she just had like the most character development. And like we said, went through so much. And for her to get that ending and yeah, like for her to choose herself, I was like,
yes,
Julie. Yes. You were the true love of your life all along. Yes, queen.
Yes. I really like Ryan's character. He had like way more dialogue than he normally does.
This is the most interesting Ryan is this entire series, y'all. Like the first few episodes of season 1, you're kind of like, ooh, you know, like, I think season 1, like the first half of season 1 and season 4 Ryan are the best. And again, like I said, I hate to say it, but I think when they killed off Marissa, which means that they like, yes, obviously he still has like beats to do with Marissa in this season, but like his entire personality doesn't just revolve around getting with Marissa or what she's doing or beating up this guy, although literally he starts off beating up people. But I just think it's like the most interesting Ryan Atwood ever is in the OC, which it's like he's only the main character. It's about time he finally actually becomes a compelling character.
Literally.
So yeah, like I was just like, if you want good character development and like interesting story beats, even though of course it's the OC, so some of it's still outlandish, like I really think season 4 is where it's at.
Yeah, it was so good. I loved let me think of all the characters. I love Summer's journey she went through where she like went to Brown and she was like, I'm a political activist. And then she was like, I'm not a political activist. Fuck that. But then she was like, no, political activism is in my soul.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love to see it. I mean, they were like making fun of her like she's goofy, but
I think she's on to something. Yeah, I'm like, take over the world, girl. Yeah, I also think, like, again, shows that transition from high school to college always have a really difficult time. And I think, honestly, the OC kind of did a really good job with talking about, like, what a weird time it is actually in your life. And, like, when you go off to college, you do kind of learn a lot about yourself and you do become a different person and you change and you grow. And I really, like, actually really like that. Like, I think they handled, like, the transitioning to college storyline very well, where I think a lot of shows drop the ball. And it's just so unfortunate that we couldn't see more of the college years because I actually think they were handling it very well. But yeah.
Yeah. I really wish we got more of this storyline. Like Taylor and Ryan are the superior couple.
Yes.
Fight me.
Yes. Yeah, I wish we could have gotten seasons of their story and not again, like I just think there's such a more interesting story because like Marissa and Ryan are two alike in a sense. Like they're both two damaged people. And not to say that Taylor doesn't have her own struggles, because she does, but like, they're such, Taylor and Ryan are such opposite peoples. Like, they're both going through things, but they make each other better. Like, they need the yin and the yang of each other. And Marissa and Ryan are both so mopey and so whatever. And it's not a fun dynamic to watch. And also, I just think, I don't know, maybe the actors just had better chemistry, you know, between Taylor and Ryan. I'm not really sure, but I like loved their relationship. And I remember when people used to say that, like, Taylor, which, she's a bit annoying when they first introduce as her character in season three, but in season four, she's so delightful. She's one of my favorite characters. I really feel for her. And yeah, I just like really love their relationship and like love that they decided to like have them be together. Like, I just think that's so cute.
I loved it. I loved it. How did, oh yeah, Sandy. Okay. Oh. I do have notes because I just remembered this one. So they go to Berkeley and they knock on this gay couple's door and they're like, we want to buy your house. And they're like, this is our house. No, you can't buy it. And I have a question for you. How much would you say, this is how much I need for you to buy my house? How much money?
Oh, that's such a good question. If I knew they were like rich Orange County people. A house that I, God, it would have to be, because like, nobody likes moving, and like, you build a home and you've decorated it the way you want it. And because again, like, this, we're talking about a house that you like, obviously, in this scenario, because like, this couple seem to enjoy this Berkeley house that obviously Sandy and Kirsten also wanted, because they had such fond memories in it as well, blah 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 blah. But anyways, I don't know, that's a great question. I'm like, I'm going to highball them for sure. Like, let's say it's a house, because again, like, I'm never going to be able to afford an expensive house in my life, because that's not whatever. So let's say my house is like an average $200,000, whatever house or something. I'm going to need someone to give me like $1 million. And they're going to be like, that's way over asking price. And I'll be like, I don't care. You're coming at me and being like, hey, no questions asked. I'm going to buy this house off of you. You're giving me money.
Yes. So I figure, Berkeley, California. It had like several bedrooms, two floors, big backyard. I'm thinking that that house probably goes for about $2 million.
Yes.
So I would ask
double
for
that.
$10 million.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because they're either going to say, yes, here's $10 million, or they're going to say,
or they're
no,
going to leave me alone.
Yeah. You get to keep your house. So it's either like way, $10 million.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to like shoot for the stars. Yeah. Again, and a house in Berkeley, California is not cheap. It's got to be, like you said, at least probably like a couple mil. Because that's just what real estate goes for. Yeah. I'm asking, I'm going to at least need them to double that, if not triple that. Because like you said, like, you're in a win-win situation then. Either they're crazy enough and rich enough to be able to give you that, and you're like, sweet. Or you, like, don't have to move. They leave you alone.
Exactly.
They're like, no, in hell am I paying that? But yeah.
Yeah.
Craziness.
Yeah, it was really good. I liked how they wrapped it up. I like that they gave Kirsten and Julie like a new kid, like a fresh kid, fresh out the womb.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
Fresh out the womb. They got them fresh babies.
Oh my God. And then the final scene is Ryan approaching a down on his luck kid. And he's like, hey kid, do you need some help?
I love that. I know. Stop. Love a full circle moment. And I truly think, I mean, the character that they turned Ryan into, I think he would be that type of person who, because he was given an opportunity that was able to give him a better life, like, I think he would really throw himself into doing that for other, you know, troubled youth. So
definitely.
It's beautiful. Oh,
it was beautiful.
I love it so much. I'm just a sucker. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am a sucker for found family. So like, the OC is like right up my alley, and kind of like you talking about like Julie's ending, like, you know, it's not like what a traditional family looks like, but it's like the perfect family for her. And again, like, obviously the show literally starts with Sandy and, you know, obviously the Coens taking in Ryan, and then that becomes like his family for the rest of his life. And, you know, like, obviously like him and Seth and, you know, Sandy and Kirsten and the new baby and whatever, like, they're all just like a family for the rest of time. And I just think that's the sweetest thing. Like, Just love the family.
It's nice to think like the baby is not gonna know a time without Ryan. So the baby's just like gonna be her brother.
That's just like my brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so nice to think about, honestly. Yeah. Oh, I just love it so much.
I think they did a really good job wrapping it up. A lot of TV shows drop the ball and they did a really good job. So
yeah. Honestly, 10 out of 10. Again, if we haven't convinced you, truly, if you were someone who fell off watching The OC, if you've never watched it, if you were a season 4 hater for, I don't know why, but some people are for some reason, go rewatch it now that you like have your, you know, frontal lobe developed. And I'm telling you, you're gonna be like, oh, actually, this is like a really quality season of the show. And I'm gonna be like, you're welcome. It really is. It's so good. Yeah. I know. What are you gonna watch now? You know, like you were,
I don't
know. The OC to get you through. And now what's it going to be?
I don't know.
That's the thing. People keep like telling me shows to watch lately. And I know that they are all good quality shows, but a lot of them are very like serious shows. And I don't think I have the mental bandwidth to do that. I'm still watching The Last of Us because like I can handle one sad, serious show at a time. And that's the one I've committed to. So I'm like, maybe when that is done, I will give one of these recommendations people have been giving me a try. But right now, I'm like, give me something stupid. Like, give me something like fun and frothy and soapy and silly that I like want to get involved in people's romantic drama and whatever, and not like sad stuff. Cause I just don't have the mental capacity for that in this world that we are living in right now. Thank you so much.
I think actually that I'm going to watch Pretty Little Liars. Yeah. I've never seen it. I know that it's problematic, but I keep seeing like little tidbits of things that happen. And I'm like, I need like, this.
I think right now
in the year 2025 at age 33 is when Pretty Little Liars is going to hit.
It's the time. Best. It's so true. In our Lord's year 2025, like this is honestly the time to do it. Yeah, yes. If not now, when, you know? That's very fair, honestly. I watched Pretty Little Liars. I fell off of it because it was just whatever. Like, it just got to be too much for me. But I do weirdly recommend it. I literally stopped watching, but I do recommend it. I feel like this is the time to watch it. I will say so far, the summer movie season is officially kicked off. End of spring, usually like this early in the year, only being the month of May, we're kind of like the first few months of the year always kind of crappy movies. This year, the very beginning of the year was kind of no different. But I will say like the movie season has already really picked up. Like I'm so impressed that I'm 5 months into the year and there's already like a handful of movies that I'm like, oh, this could make my top 10 at the end of the year. So that's very impressive. I'm really hopeful that the summer movie season will continue to shine. Mike Lanner already knows this because I put in the group chat, but I went and saw Thunderbolts, which I had very high expectations of. Funny, but true story. Not funny, but like kind of funny. So back when Captain America the Winter Soldier came out, I basically was just like obsessed. I mean, who wasn't? It was such a great movie. But also like I was kind of going through like a bit of a time at the time. Like, again, when are we all not? But I was just like kind of going through it. And I like really was attached to the character of Bucky. And I actually started like reading some of the comics because I had never read like the Winter Soldier series in the comics. And so I like read the comics. And then I was like so excited for the movies. And I just like really became attached to this character. And so this was honestly, I know like a lot of people were really excited for Fantastic Four, which does look fantastic. It does look great. Don't get me wrong. I'm also just like obsessed with the cast. Like there couldn't be a better cast like of a movie. Like it's just such a good cast. But I was just like, okay, like I'm excited about it. But like, I don't know. I'm just like not like that excited about it. And like everyone is excited about Superman. And like, I don't care if I'm going to get hate for this, but I just don't care for that. Like I'll see it at some point, but I don't need to go see it opening night. But the one superhero movie I was really excited about was Thunderbolts because the character of Bucky is just like meant a lot to me for, oh my God, I guess like the last 11 years of my life now, which is crazy that Winter Soldier came out in like 2014 and it's now 2025. But anyways, so I was really excited to see this and I was not disappointed. And I've just been like really going through some emotions, some like mental health stuff recently. And honestly, Thursday was a really bad day at work. And in both perfect timing and also not perfect timing, I went and saw Thunderbolts that night thinking, like, I'm going to go see the new Marvel movie. And then there I am crying in the theater because I have never seen a superhero movie handle mental health this well. And I was like, well, this really hit at a time for me. and it was really beautiful. And Yelena's character is so good. And, like, David Harbour in this movie is so, like, everyone is so good. Bob. All I'm going to say is Bob. If you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil anything for anyone. But yeah, it was truly so good and I like can't recommend it enough. And I'm just like so excited that the first like big tentpole movie of the year like was good. Like that we really had a win, that Marvel kind of returned to form. Hopefully Fantastic Four is also good. But yeah, so I was like, wow, this really hit at a time where I needed it. But also, this was supposed to be a fun, silly movie to escape tonight, and now here I am. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
But, yeah.
That's, I know
that's what we've been watching, everyone. I know you're not a horror person, yeah. But Sinners is, like, a huge movie this year. Did you see it?
Yes, and it's good. So good. Like, all the hype that you were hearing is so real, and it's one of those movies, and Mike and I both felt this way. Like, we both, like, talked about it afterward and then separately, like, went our own way, and we're kind of thinking about it, and a few days later, we're like, but, like, actually, when you think about it, it's so much better than you originally think. Like, the more you sit on it, and I was like, I kind of want to go see it again, because now that I'm, like, kind of thinking about certain things, and I just, like, in my humble opinion, Ryan Coogler has never missed yet. He's just never missed. Like, I think he's a really great director. And I just think the whole I'm so sorry. I'm totally going to butcher the composer's name, Ludwig Garrison. I just think the whole story of how they met is so crazy that they just happened to be roommates in college. And now they're like two of the biggest names in like what they do. Like, and that they get to work together. And like the, how great, like, to be alive in this time that like the two of them are breaking it on the scene, you know? But I'm just like so impressed, honestly, by the two of them. I hope that they continue composing and making movies for a long time and collaborating together. Yeah. I mean, if Ryan Coogler is directing it, like my butt will be in the seat. Like, I am just, and again, obviously he's a frequent collaborator with Michael B. Jordan, who I think is fantastic. I've loved him since Friday Night Lights. And the fact that you get double Michael B. Jordan in this movie, like, I mean, like, how can you complain? Like, it's so good. I was like, two Michael B. Jordans. This is great. But yeah, it's just like such a great movie. And it's really like a thinker movie, but it's also still really fun. And it was such a good movie to go see in theaters with people. Like, the audience reaction to it was so good. And that made the experience even better. And before Mike and I saw it, we tried to stay spoiler free, but everyone kept being like, that scene. And when we saw it, we're like, oh, that scene. And like, we understood what they meant. And I was like, I am so amazed by this. Like, that's just, it's, I was like, this is what, like, I know, like, pretentious film bros are always like, Denis Villeneuve is such a visionary and whatever. And, like, whatever, Dune School, I get it. But, like, when people talk about, like, Christopher Nolan and, like, he things need to be, you know, seen in cinema and, like, this was made for cinema. But, like, when I saw this scene, I was like, this is why, like, movies are so cool. Like, movies as a medium is so cool. Like, this is cinema. Like, this is what you should be doing. Again, not to oversell it, but, like, I was like, this is why you make movies, is for scenes like this. And just, like, only in a visual medium could it work, you know? And I was like, oh, God, movies are so cool, guys. Like, and it's so just good. So fun to, like, walk on a movie and feel that way. Like, feel rejuvenated about, like, filmmaking. I don't know. Whatever. I'm a nerd, but yeah, I was just like, wow, movies are cool, guys.
Me and Andrew are both off Friday night, which never happens. So maybe we'll go see it.
I really think you should go see it.
I want to see both Thunderbolts and Sinners, but I want to see Sinners more.
Yeah. And I would, of the two, again, I think they're both fantastic. I think they're both fantastic in different ways. But again, just like for pure cinema, like, just I just think Sinners is so good. And again, I think, and that's the good thing, like, it's had such good word of mouth, which means it's had legs, which means like when you are going, even seeing it in a couple weeks in, you should still have a decent like packed house, like you still have a decent amount of people there. And I think it is one of those movies that the experience is better seeing it with other people. Like, it's still going to be great if you watch it at your house. Don't get me wrong. It's a great movie, but like getting that audience reaction to certain things was so good. Like, you can't duplicate that. So I would recommend going and seeing that first, because I think you want to see it with a crowd, because it's just like really good. But yeah,
love
those are my thoughts and feelings on movies and TV. We talked a little bit about our thoughts and feelings about Katy Perry. Yes.
We were haters.
We're gonna, yeah. We hate Spinnerbait and we also hate Katy Perry's story. let's be honest. And we talked some Met fashion. I'm honestly, once we wrap this episode, I'm about to go look at some more. And same. Then we ended on a happier note, though. We talked about things we were loving, the fourth season of the OC, yes. Sinners, Thunderbolts, all good stuff. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Any wrap-up thoughts? Yeah.
No. I hope y'all watch us on YouTube.
Yeah, watch us on YouTube.
ASMR YouTube.
Dr. Pepper, sponsor us.
Dr. Pepper. Yeah, no, I got nothing else. I am looking forward to the week ahead. I hope you are all as well. Why am I looking forward to it? I don't know, because I'm alive. That's the best I got.
That's all I can do. Yeah.
But
last May we were gearing up for Sweden. You know what? It's fine. I'm gonna make myself sad if I think like that. It's fine. We're doing fine.
We're doing fine.
Thriving. We're getting through it, guys. We're here, you know. Like, so many good summer movies to look forward to. That's what I'm keeping on for. All right. Yeah. No, it's good. All right. Take care of yourselves. Be well. We'll be back next week with some more Once and For All. Yes. Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye.